Well, we come now to the deity of the Holy Spirit in the confession. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And you know, beyond that declaration that He is God, what the Scriptures say about the Holy Spirit is nothing short of astounding. Just a small fraction of what it says. He creates, He recreates, He gives life. He's the author of Scripture. He opens our eyes and He opens our ears to it. He makes us to know our sin and our misery and our need of Jesus Christ. He works faith in us to believe. He works faith in us to believe what the Scripture reveals about Jesus Christ. He applies the work of Christ to us, justifying us. And on the basis of Christ's work, He creates new life in us, regenerating us, the new birth. He continues to work in us, renewing us into the image of the Son. He works in us to perform good works, sanctification, or Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, right? He seals us and makes certain the day of our redemption. He resurrects our bodies in the last day, the Spirit. Fulsome, amazing, the work of the Spirit. But according to the confession this morning, we are limiting ourselves to demonstrating His deity. And we will be very brief. But it's a good exercise for us to do this. First of all, let's just remember that this is in the third portion in the Belgic Confession. We've already gone through the Trinity and also the deity of Jesus. If we consider the Spirit a member of the Trinity, that is acknowledgement that He is full deity. In essence, He is the God. He is divinely equal in the Trinity. Like the Son, to believe the Trinity is to believe the deity of the Holy Spirit. And long ago I mentioned the ABCs of the Trinity. That doesn't mean the Trinity is simple. It's just this is an oxymoron in a way. The ABCs of the Trinity are the Annunciation, Baptism, and Commission, those passages. And The Spirit is there. The Annunciation, Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said to her, that is Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Highest will overshadow you, and therefore, see, because of the Holy Spirit, because the power of the Highest, therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. The baptism of Jesus, Matthew 3, Mark 1, Jesus is in the water. There's a voice of God in the heavens, speaking from heaven, and the Spirit of God is descending. Trinity. Trinitarian passage. The Spirit is there. In the commission, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, we are baptized into the name of the Father, into the name of the Son, and into the name of the Holy Spirit. So as a member of the Trinity, He is God. He cannot be put in those categories. Imagine the blasphemy. Cannot Christ or the Spirit put in the same category as the Father unless He is in essence God. Number two, He bears the divine names of God. He's God because He bears the divine names of God. Acts 5:3, Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God." You've lied to God. He's called in Scripture the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 2:11. He's called the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9. He's called the Spirit of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:17, Luke 4:18. He's called the Spirit of the Father, Matthew 10:20. The Spirit of the Son, Galatians 4:6, and the Spirit of Glory, 1 Peter 4:14. These names or if you prefer titles, can only mean he is God. He's a member of the Trinity, and he bears the divine names. Third, he possesses the divine attributes. That is, he bears all the characteristics, the perfections, the excellencies of God. The eternal spirit, he's called the eternal spirit in Hebrews 9:14. He is an omnipresent spirit. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? It's omnipresent. He's an omniscient spirit. He knows all things. John 14:26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He's an omnipotent spirit, all-powerful spirit. Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. He is powerful to raise the dead. And to give, he gives that internal life, and he will give us bodily life and glorification life, resurrection life. And of course, he's holy. He's the Holy Spirit. And I don't even have to tell you that everywhere. He's the Holy Spirit. Number four, he performs the works of God. How we know he's God, he performs the works of God. Creation, regeneration, salvation, resurrection. He gives life. He performs miracles. Just three of those. Creation, Genesis 1-2. What was hovering over the formless and void world at that time? It was what was hovering over the face of the waters was the Spirit of God. Recreation. John 3:5, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. Resurrection. Romans 8:11 again. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life. And five, he's equal to the divine Son. He's equal to the divine Son. If so, then he's God. In our scripture reading in John, Jesus, the Son of God, will send a helper like him. So the Holy Spirit is equated with Jesus. John 14:16, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He is the equal replacement of Jesus. He's God. He is the Spirit comes in Jesus' name. The Spirit teaches us all things. He is God. He's a member of the Trinity. He has the names of God. He has the attributes of God. He performs the works of God. He is equal to the Son of God. Now, some might say, and they do, this and all of these just indicate that this is Christ's power exerted. Christ's force sent to us. God's power. God's influence. But if the Spirit were a power, he could not be spoken of like this. Certainly not with this equality with Christ. He is a person. And that's what we read here in John 14:15 and 16. He is a person. He's not a thing. He's a person. He's a divine person. Not a divine power. He has divine power. He has divine influence, but he is a person. For one thing, the paraclete, that's the word there, the helper, New King James Version, New American Standard, King James Version, comforter, NIV, counselor, It's a very fulsome word, a kaleidoscopic word that brings out all these aspects of the greatness of the Spirit. But what I want you to think about is he's a person. He is the helper, not help. He is the comforter, a person, not comfort. He is the counselor and not counsel. He is the teacher, not a teaching. See? He is a person. That is also something we have to observe when we look at grammar. Grammar teaches us he's a person. The Spirit is a he, not an it. In Greek, you have a masculine, feminine, and a neuter gender. And the masculine gender is always used for the pronouns related to the Holy Spirit, or the participles related to the Holy Spirit. Paraclete itself here is masculine. The pronouns are masculine. Whether it's the personal pronoun he in 16:7, it's masculine. Whether it's the demonstrative pronoun that one in 14:26 and 15:26, it's masculine. Whether it's the reflexive pronoun his own in 16:13, it's masculine. And if it's the participle coming, and the participles contain gender in Greek, it's masculine. In 16, verse 8, it's masculine. If the Spirit was an it, if the Spirit was just a power or a force, the neuter gender would seem much more appropriate, wouldn't it? And it would be used here. In fact, the more so it would be used here, because the word Spirit, which is a word for wind or spirit, is actually a neuter word. Spirit is a neuter noun. But whenever a pronoun is attached to it, and you would expect, in agreement, you would expect it to be neuter, but it's masculine. It's whenever it's the Spirit, whenever it's the Holy Spirit, it's masculine, because the Spirit himself is indicating that he is a person. He's a divine being. If he was a thing, he would use the neuter. And the only reason not to use the neuter is that he's the person. He is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. John 16, look at John 16:7. I've got just a little time. Watch this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Verse 7, John 16:7. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, the paraclete, it's clearly masculine article. It has a masculine article. The articles in Greek can be masculine, feminine, or neuter. Masculine article, masculine noun. The helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him, personal pronoun, masculine, to you. Verse 8, John 16, verse 8. When he has come, and that is one word, it's a participle, masculine. When he has come, he, and it could literally be, maybe in some of your versions it says that one, because it's a demonstrative pronoun. That one. It's masculine. That one. See, that one who is a person will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Same thing happens in John, in all these passages. John 16:13. However, when he, that one, masculine demonstrative pronoun, the Spirit of truth has come, he, will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own. It's a reflexive pronoun, masculine. He'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And let me just say, I just can't help it. You want to know why there, everybody's like out there, well, the Spirit is the forgotten God. No, the Spirit, look, He, verse 14, will glorify me. He's not into glorifying Himself. He's into glorifying the Father through the Son. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Scripture. Scripture, written by the Holy Spirit, purposely used the masculine because He, the Holy Spirit, is a person, divine person, not a divine influence. And let me add this one real quickly. He's a person because He's characterized as a person. He has intelligence. He has will and He has affection. He has intelligence. He will teach you all things, John 14, 16. He searches the depths of God, 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 12. Now, who can do that? Right? Does a force do that? Search the depths of God and knows all things? Only God can do that. He has will. He distributes the gift just as He wills. Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 11. Affections. You know you can grieve the Holy Spirit? Right? You know that. In Ephesians 4, 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It's kind of tough to grieve a principle. Right? Kind of tough to grieve a force. Well, He's an equal member of the Trinity. He bears divine names. He possesses divine attributes. He performs divine works. He is equal to the divine Son. He is a divine person. The Holy Spirit is God. And He should be recognized as such. He should be believed and worshipped. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we do glorify You through the Son and through the Spirit who teaches us to know Jesus Christ, to believe Him, and to exalt Him. Opens our eyes to the Scripture. Indeed, He is God. You have revealed this in Your Word. We praise You for it. We praise the Trinity. In Jesus' name, amen.